Blog Talk Radio.
This is also a blueprint for life. This is a day that the Most High has made. I hope that you've had a great Feast of Tabernacles. Some of you are going into atonement. Some of you are all done. However, this has been a great fall feast day season. And I hope that you've prepared yourself, enjoyed yourself, worshiped the Most High Yah, and were obedient to the Leviticus 23 high holy days, the Sabbaths that don't all fall on the Saturday Sabbath, but when that day falls in the midst of the week and on the eighth day, this being our eighth day celebration, because the Feast of Tabernacles was completed on Friday, 7 days. And let's read the scripture, Leviticus 23 and 36. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Most High, and on the eighth day you shall have a holy gathering. Says convocation, but it's a gathering, a get together, whether it's on the internet, online, or two or three gathered together, he's in the midst. And you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. Well, now that Yeshua has made that sacrifice for us, we understand that that fire is on the inside of us, because we've been baptized in fire ever since Acts, the second chapter, and that he offered the once and eternal sacrifice essence unto the Most High. So that we do, we just do indeed, but it's not necessary or lawful for us to be able to make, go burn an ox, go burn an animal unto the Most High in these days and this day and time. So what we do is we have feasts, we have a wonderful meal, but we know that Christ fulfilled the work that was done. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Doesn't mean he wiped away the law. He took care of the sacrificial sins that we don't have to continue to atone for our sins through the sacrificing of animals, or else we'd be sacrificing animals every day. So this is our eighth day to finalize the prophetic fall feast, which has not manifested itself yet. And what I mean by that, you can find this in Zechariah the 14th chapter, what represents the fall feast. When that trumpet blows, that's going to represent the return of Yeshua HaMashiach coming through the clouds with the saints and with his people. The atonement is also showing that people are going to be crying, lamenting for their sins, and that he's real and that he's come back, but he's going to be destroying nations and Gentiles all over the place as well. So you have so many things that'll be transpiring. Just read Zechariah the 14th chapter, explains the fall feast. And then we have tabernacles. After he's destroyed the nations and purged the earth of sin, He's going to dwell amongst us from thence on for 1,000 years, and that's what tabernacles represents. And he says those nations, the remnant of them, Amos 9 and 14, that survive, will have to come up, mandated to come up every Feast of Tabernacles. And if they don't, they won't have crops, they won't have rain, they won't have sustenance. They'll have to come amongst Israel, the Israelites, Jerusalem. Don't think you're an Israelite just because you start to follow us and you get grafted in. That does not make you an Israelite. You'll be on the outside of the court. I've taught many lessons on this. I don't have to go into it today. I'm just letting you know what the fall feasts represent and how things will work themselves out. We as believers expect every time these fall feasts come around that they're going to actually materialize and manifest, that he's going to return. Well, I guess it didn't happen this year, and we'll see when he is to come. But let me assure you something, brothers. If you understand Bible prophecy, which Satan is trying to confuse, the rollout started in 2020. A lot of things have transpired that you don't want to really take into consideration and you're not being aware of. I understand Satan is trying to confuse you so you don't understand the signs of Yah's plagues being poured out upon this earth and the moaning and groaning of the earth, which all indicates that he is close, that we're in the season for his return. And Satan, because of what he said in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, is trying to mock the signs. Most High sends a plague or sends a sign, and then he tries to use his weather warfare and blame it on climate change. And he knows that the Most High prophesied there would be famine in the land. So what does Esau and the Amalekites and Satan do? Start burning up food processing plants and setting them literally on fire to cause confusion upon you and to cause fear, because fear to them is palpable. It is like fine fruit, a cuisine, and they want the whole world to live in fear, because once you begin to operate on that frequency, you're no longer walking in the spirit. And the Most High said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so you have to be very proactive in dispelling fear from your life, because that is a frequency that Satan and his cohorts operate on. When you walk in faith and in the spirit, which is going to be our exhortation lesson for today, you're on the frequency that has you vibrating to what's happening in the Shemayim. That's why we keep these holy days, so we can be in sync with the Most High and his angels in honoring the holy feast days. So you need to understand that fear, that premise, that's the opposite of faith, complete opposite. It is to Satan and his kingdom what faith is to the Most High's kingdom. So that's what you need to understand. That's how that operates. All praises to the Most High for the Moedim, the holy set apart days. So we give him praise for that. This being the Sabbath, the Shabbat, we understand that the Most High Yah spake all these words, saying, I am Yahuwah, which have brought thee out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am thy Yahuwah, and I am a jealous Yah, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Most High in vain, for the Most High will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh day it is the Sabbath unto the Most High Yahuwah. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Most High made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and it rested on the seventh day. Wherefore he blessed this day, and he set it apart, hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Most High Yah giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. All praises to the Most High. So before we get into this exhortation, which I think is very much necessary of walking in the Spirit, and I'll tell you why. I'll get into it a little bit later, but you're not going to endure until the end or survive what we're going through right now. I know you kind of don't see in the Spirit because you don't want to deal with what's happening around us, all these sudden deaths, people dropping dead, doom and gloom, wars, rumors of wars, flooding, earthquakes, that stick that people got, the violence that permeates the earth. And I know you just want to seek entertainment and pleasure. The promiscuity and perversion, sexual immorality that just dominates the terrain right now. Kids don't have a chance, attacking kids, human trafficking, migrant crisis. I know you're looking for something to ease your pain and keep you from seeing it, but that's an impossibility. What you're going to need to do is fall in love with Yah and realize he's the only hope you have, and then learn how to walk in the Spirit. If you're not led and guided by the Ruach HaKadosh, you're going to more than likely be destroyed without remedy. Can't walk in the flesh. That luxury has been gone. You got grace and mercy, but we're not living in the same times. Because the Most High said that his grace would run out. We're not living in a time where these demons are playing with you. They're playing for keeps. And I can remember a time when you were in the Christian church and other places that you made a mistake and you utilized your grace and mercy and you went and repented and tried to dust yourself off and do it again. Now it's as if when he goes to get seven more demons and these eight demons take a hold of you, they're not letting go. They're playing for keeps because there's not enough bodies to possess in the earth anymore, which is why they're making clones. Animals are being possessed, trying to create the frequencies to be able to live in computer systems through artificial intelligence. These demons are looking for bodies, and the Book of Enoch tells us that they roam around suffering because they need a body, a vehicle, so that they can exist and operate in doing what they like to do, which is torment, taunt, make sick, be gluttonous, sexual deviance. That's all they think about, and they need a body to try and operate in that capacity. And so the whole earth has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. And if you go play on that side, know that death comes with that. That spirit, that demon called Asmodeus, it's not like you can slip out here and probably not end up being killed now. Spirit of Jezebel on these women that are operating with a plethora of demons inside them, and they seduce you. You take on the demons that they have, and some of them will physically kill you, and some of them will spiritually kill you, all because you ran after them in a moment of heated lust, desire that you couldn't control because you have no self-control. These women are setting up men to be killed and destroyed. They've been doing it for years, but it's even more so now, to be robbed and killed for $2. And it's not just that. It's even in the homosexual area and the lesbianism area. And I know I'm talking, but I'm trying to give you fair warning that we no longer have the luxury of playing in the devil's play yard and thinking we can just jump back to Yah. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. We'll come back to walking in the Spirit. I wanted to do a quick review on the name because I think it's going to be insightful. We've got so many camps on the air now, and they use different names as a trademark for their particular camp and their marketing campaigns. And they're trying to confuse people as to saying, if you don't say it this way, you don't know him, and you're calling the wrong name, or you're calling a demon or another god or a false god. Stop listening to all that teaching. And then on top of that, as I've taught, I probably teach this every year. As I taught before, the Most High has a name and the Son has a name that none of us know. And we're not going to know until he returns. He's going to change that name, and he's going to change our names and give us another name. And he's going to give us a pure language, as talked about in the book of Amos. He's going to change the language, restore the Hebrew, and put us in one consent. He's going to kill off all this confusion. So when you see people that go on and on and on about the name and what it is, and this is right, and this is right, you know, the Most High is going to know your heart. I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to play this tape, and I'll give some commentary as I play this tape about the name, because whosoever calleth upon the name of the Most High shall be saved. And I don't want you to be deceived either. So let's see if we can bring some clarity to this, and then after we get through with that, we'll continue with our exhortation, even though we've already begun with that. But the exhortation will only be for 10 minutes, where I'll give you some precepts to teach you how to navigate this terrain by walking in the spirit. I mean, you really need to be spirit led. I can't emphasize that enough. You can't even walk out your door, get in your car without consulting with Yah and looking with a spiritual eye lens. You can't. You have to be led. Death is trying to come your way. Satan wants the remnant, the Israelites, killed and destroyed and wiped off the earth. You have to know this is real. He's panicking. Let's listen to this and we'll come back to that.
What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you know it, Mishnah, a.k.a. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Look at this deep challenge in Scripture. It asks us, what is his name, and what is his son's name, if you know it? Many have been born, and many have died, without knowing the answer to this question. You are blessed today, because the answer to this question is revealed right here and right now. The Creator says, I am Yahuwah, that is my name, and my esteem I do not give to another, nor my praise to idols. Yahshua, also known as Isaiah 42, verse 8. This particular verse of Scripture is a challenge directly from the Creator of all to every human being on earth to the exactness of his name and his thoughts on anyone using any other name.
Yahshua is Isaiah. You hear some people say Yeshaya. That means Isaiah. When you say Yasha, Yasha is Ishi, which means husband. And when he's our husband, we're talking about Christ coming back and being the groom and us being the 10 virgins and hopefully the 5 wise ones with oil in our tanks. So Yasha is Ishi, which is husband, which is our groom. Yasha Yahu, but you hear these changes on words with different camps. Yasha Yah. Yeshaya, don't get caught up into the play on words. If that means Isaiah, and then you see what it means. And his name is Yahuwah, because the name of the Father is in the Son's name. Remember that. And I like what he said, that in the beginning, a lot of people have died not knowing the Most High's name. They call him God, and God is Theos, and Theos is just a title. That is not his name. Many people left this earth and got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those are titles. They didn't get baptized in anybody's name, but he blinks on ignorance. Let's continue.
Other than what he says his name is, throughout the entire scriptures, the name of the Creator has been emphasized as being of the utmost importance and significance approximately 7,000 times. Yet somehow, some way, his name has been covered up and hidden from the world for centuries. Take a look at the prefaces in most Bible translations. They make bold and blatant statements about their translators. They state, in regard to the divine name commonly referred to as the Tetragrammaton, the translator
not ignorant of Satan's devices.
This is in direct conflict with truth, as found in original or earlier scripture translations. And more importantly, this directly conflicts with what Yahuwah himself told us about his name. When Musha, also known as Moses, was on the mountain with the Creator, he asked the Creator, "See, when I come to the children of Israel, also known as Israel, and say to them, 'The mighty one of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Shema, also known as Exodus 3, verse 13. The scripture gives all of us an opportunity to explain to our peers to how the Creator responds to Musha, Moses. The Creator answered him and said, "I am that which I am. Thus, you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Shema, also known as Exodus 3:14.
So we know that he told Moses, "My name is I am that I am." Let's go on to the next part.
"That which I am" is translated from the Hebrew word Hayah, Ashar Hayah, and written in...
Let me pause. "I am that I am" in the Hebrew translation is Hayah, Ashar Hayah. It didn't say Ahayah. It said Hayah, which you will find in Strong's Hebrew Concordance. What that word means completely. I wanted someone else to teach to confirm the things that I already know, but I wanted you to hear it from someone else. But that word Hayah means to be, to become, to come to pass, and to exist. And you will find that, let me see, I'll give you the exact Strong's Hebrew number. There's too many people doing a play on words. So Strong's Concordance, H1961, is Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, and that is I am that I am. If you go into the Paleo Hebrew, you'll see E-H-Y-E-H, which is A-Yah. The main thing we must remember is there was no O's, so we don't use Elohim, that's where they use a lot of O's and different things like that. We use O's and A's because the Tetragrammaton wasn't operating with vowels like that. Anyway, let me get back to that. I just wanted to point that out about Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya, and not to make a confusion.
Like this, Haya means to be or to exist. The Creator was saying to Musha, Moses, that his name means to be, to be. This means that he always has existed and always will exist. This also means that whoever follows him, he can make it be for whatever needs that person has.
Right.
If you need your prayers answered, he can make it be.
Right.
If you need healing, he can make it be. If you need wisdom, he can make it be. If you need forgiveness, he can make it be. If you need a breakthrough, he can make it be. His name, Yahuwah, contains the power to create what we need through the power of the words we speak in his name. Most have heard the phrase derived from this verse, "I am that I am." But few stop and take the time to look at the next verse to hear what the Creator continues to say. As he actually reveals his name, he says in the next verse, "Thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yahuwah, the Aluah, also known, Mighty One, of your fathers, the Aluah of Abraham, the Aluah of Yasak, Isaac, and the Aluah of Yaqub, Jacob, has sent me to you. This Yahuwah is my name forever, and this is my remembrance to all generations." Shema.
Let's break that down for a minute. When you continue to read the verse where he says, "I am that I am," then he goes on to say, "Thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yahuwah," and you'll probably see it in the other verses that they'll say Lord or God in King James. Now, what he pointed out was they used a tetragrammaton, which was a device, which is a tactic of Satan from the editors. I'll just use editors for lack of a better term right now. Try to do that. It's an ineffable name and hide the name from the people and took the name out and put in Lord, which means Baal, which means Satan, which means a demon. So when you're saying Lord, thank the Lord and all that, that is satanic. So what you need to understand is that when you say Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya, you're saying it in the third person. He's saying, tell them my name is I am whatever they need me to be. I am this. So that means he's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, holy, a healer, wisdom. That's what he was saying when you say Haya Ashar Ahaya. That's why he goes on to say what the gentleman just said here in the video. Thus, you are to say to the children of Israel, Yahuwah, the Alua, which a lot of people use from the Sefer Bible, Alua just means the mighty one. So that's another name. I am one of your fathers, but let's continue. I just was hoping that you to point that out and hoping you heard that. Let's continue.
Also known as Exodus 3 verse 15. There we have it. In the Creator's plain words that his name is Yahuwah, and that is his name forever, and that his name is to be remembered to all generations. If you are watching.
So what people do is they stop at Haya Ashar Haya, which we just said is a third person, which he was saying, I am whatever you need me to be. So you take that and say this is his name and that everybody else is calling the name is demonic, you're off for saying that. You have to look at the verse in the context of the verse before and after and sometimes the whole chapter to break it down and then understand what was going on with this tetragrammaton and these devices to alter and change and hide certain names. You have to be able, that's why you need a teacher. That's why some of you sitting at home with no covering are saying that I'm not going to go sit up under a particular camp. I understand it because you got camps using the name, certain names as trademarks to identify what camp they are and what they say. You, so there's some names that y'all hear and you'd be like, oh, they must be from that camp. It's something else. Let me digress. Let me park my plane, as they say, and let this video continue because it's very informational.
For hearing this, then you are part of all generations. His name, the name Yahuwah, always has been, is now, and will always be Yahuwah. How is it then that the translators then have the audacity to change his name by adopting a device? A device is an easy way of saying they changed and covered his name. How do you think Yahuwah, the Creator, feels about this? Yahuwah says in Devarim, also known as Deuteronomy 4 verse 2, do not add to the word which I command you, and do not take away from it, and so as to guard the commands of Yahuwah, your Allah, which I am commanding you.
You know what happens when you become very confident with the Course? All of your non-words and your filler words, meaning all the
In Misa, also known as Proverbs 30, verses 5 to 6, it says, every word of Allah is tried. He is a shield to those taking refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar.
Yep.
Hebrews, also known as Hebrews 4, verse 12, says, for the word of the Most High is living and working, and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through even to the dividing of being and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of Yahuwah is now, more than ever, cutting through the deception of the translators that have plagued many for generations and kept them, and possibly you, from the true blessings and power of knowing and praising the name of Yahuwah, the Most High. No wonder the Savior said in Matthew Yahu, also known as Matthew 23, 13 through 15, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut up the rain of the heavens before men, for you do not go in, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you eat up widows' houses, and for a show,
been in church learning pagan names. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. And said, we've been taught to pray like that. These are scribes, Pharisees, translators using devices to confuse us and deceive us from calling upon the name of the one true God, Yah, the Most High, his power. And he said, if you add or take away, and that's, guess who's mostly doing that? Esau. And these books that you buy, the NIV, where 100,000 verses and scriptures are missing from that book. Believe it or not, the Sefer in Acts, the book of Acts has 28 chapters. The book of Sefer added an additional chapter to the book of Acts. That's to be called into question. I am very leery of people making their own versions of their Bible, adding to or taking away. He said, you're going to receive more judgments. And the people that are doing this are looking for people to believe, as they did in the Christian church, what they're teaching and convert one. But the scripture said Matanyahu, where you see the name of Yahu in his name, which means Matthew. He said in that scripture that you make that person a twofold child of Satan by converting them into your lies. And that's what we were all into until the awakening came. And we're awakening now with information like this as to being baptized in the true name of our Father, Yahuwah, who is the great Haya Ashar Haya. You understand now? Let's continue.
At its best, we derive from the Hebrew word Adunya, also known as Adonai, which simply means master. The word master, as we see here, is simply a title and description of someone's position. At its worst, the word Lord would derive from the word Baal, which is the pagan deity described throughout the scriptures. This translation, Lord, equaling Baal, is most likely what the modern translators were inspired by the evil one to use. The Encyclopedia Britannica describes Baal as the following. Baal, a god worshipped in many ancient Middle Eastern communities, especially among the Canaanites, who apparently considered him a fertility deity and one of the most important gods in the pantheon. As a Semitic common noun, Baal, Hebrew Baal, means owner or lord. Even taking a chance of aligning the creator's name with a pagan deity seems absolutely absurd. Now, let's look at the word God. The word God, at its best, would derive from the Hebrew word Eloah, which simply means the mighty one. The plural of this would be Elohim, also known as Elohim, which simply means many ones. Again, these words are simply titles and are a description of someone's position. At its worst, the word God would be derived from Hebrew word Gad, or the European words Gott, Guth, or Gut. The Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, says this about the origins of the word God, the common Teutonic word for a personal object of religious worship, applying to all those superhuman beings of the heathen mythologies. The word God, on the conversion of the Teutonic races to Christianity, was adopted as the name of the one supreme being. Who was it that adopted the word God to replace the name of the creator, Yahuwah? It's simple to see that it was the translators, scribes, that the Savior warned us about that did this. Again, remember what the Savior said. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. The scribes have changed the most important word in the world, the name of the creator of all, Yahuwah. How can this be? Scripture tells us exactly who is behind this great deception. We are told in Chizayu, also known as Revelation 12 verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who leads all the world astray. He was thrown to the earth, and his messengers were thrown out with him.
Hey guys, peace, here. Sorry about that. Chizayun is the book of Revelation. That's Chizayun.
Earth and the sea, because the devil has come. mean. Look at what the devil has influenced scribes and false prophets to do. Think about it. The most important word in the world has been hidden for centuries. If you ask most in the world what the name of the Creator is, how would most respond? Most would either say something like God or the Lord, or that they don't know. How sad is this fact? Yahuwah stated, therefore, my people shall know my name, Yasha Yahuwah, also known as Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 6. If you are to be his people, then you must know his name. In the original and early text, the name of our Creator, Yahuwah, is used around 7,000 times. It's the most used name throughout the true scriptures, yet the scribes, translators decided, under the influence of Satan, to cover or change his name. There is literal power in the name of Yahuwah. His name contains the most power of any word in the world. The evil one doesn't want us to know or use the name of Yahuwah in order to keep us from the power that is found in his name. The deception didn't stop with just the name of the Father. In Acts 4, verse 12, it says, and there is no deliverance in anyone else. There is no other name under the heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If you ask most of the Christian world what name you must call on in order to be saved, they will most likely say the name Jesus is to be called on for salvation. It is scripturally impossible for the name Jesus to be the name used for salvation. The letter J is less than 500 years old. The name is also a Latinized Greek name. The Savior was born Hebrew, and he spoke Hebrew and Aramaic in the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. The name translators adopted to use for the Savior was Jesus, in Greek, Isos. The name Jesus didn't show up until the 5th edition of the King James Version of the Bible in 1628. Those Hebrew names have very important meanings and messages to them. The Hebrew name, in most cases, really means something, and its purpose is to convey a message. At least the word Jesus in Hebrew means horse, and in Latin means big. At worst, the word Jesus in Greek means praise Zeus, which is the big in Greek deity.
I don't think you heard that. That word Jesus in different cultures, Germany and all that, means horse and pig. It translates in Greek also to Hail Zeus, a Greek god. So, Kirk Franklin, there ain't something about the name of Jesus. I guess there is something about the name of Jesus, but that ain't the one you need to be calling on. It's Yeshua and Yahuwah.
In Greek, literally translates to Hail Zeus. That is, EA translates as Hail, and Saus or Seuss is Zeus. Dictionary of Christian Lore and Legend, J.C.J. Milford, 1983, page 126. Think of this for a moment. In 168 BCE, on December 25th, known as Zeus's birthday, Antiochus Epiphanes IV set up in the Jerusalem temple a statue of Zeus, the Greek sun god, upon the altar, defying it. This type of pagan behavior continues to this day in many churches who use steeples, obelisks, crosses, altars, and more.
Wow, can you believe you've been going to these pagan temples on Sunday thinking you were praising the Most High?
All directly tied
to praising pagan gods.
A Spanish or Latin-speaking person to pronounce the word Jesus, and they will say, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, why would the translators choose to use such a word for the Savior? Some basic research reveals how the evil one utilized evil men to create one of the greatest deceptions ever. Here's what happened. Around 325 AD, at the Council of Nicaea, Emperor Constantine presided over a group of church bishops and other leaders for the purpose of defining the nature exactly what happened at the Council of Nicaea. How do we know this to be true? Let's take a look. History shows that Constantine's intention at Nicaea was to create an entirely new god for his empire that would unite all religions under one deity.
Mm-hmm.
Constantine brought together over 300 bishops, including influential leaders from the area. These religious leaders were asked to debate and decide who their god would be. They argued amongst themselves, each having their interest.
I want to point out something real quick. That Council of Nicaea was very detrimental to our faith. These council of bishops and these influential leaders, the majority of them were not Hebrews. Think closely. The forefathers had all been killed off and died. That would be the apostles, John, Peter, Matthew. They were all killed. Then you got to have their closest companions and mentees that they mentored, like Paul with Timothy. They had all been killed off. These were scribes and Pharisees that became the church forefathers of what they called the church when Rome entered in, because you have to remember, Rome conquered the temple in 70 AD, and all the Hebrews had already been dispersed and ran away before the Nicene Council began, which was an offshoot of the Roman preoccupation and a take on what our Hebrew faith used to be. And this is where they begin to skew and alter things permanently, which we adapted through slavery as Christianity and has become a part of us, getting away so far from what our forefathers used to follow. Even though they were the ones that first broke the commandments and got us into the trouble we're into, but the scripture tells us to pray for the sins of our forefathers that the Most High will have mercy on them because of what they did that Deuteronomy 28 told us would happen. It was prophetic. So when you think about who came up with what we adapted that we're awakening to now, and we're trying to peel off of our people who refuse to leave Christianity and the Baptist and Pentecostal churches, this is the mess that you're following. Just that, you gotta wake up. Let me play the rest.
And personal motives for their own special deity to be included. They were immersed in very heated debates. What many have never heard about these meetings is that the names of over 50 gods were up for the election as to whom the Roman Empire and the world would follow in worship. As of yet, no god has been selected by the council, and so they balloted in order to determine that matter. For 1 year and 5 months, the balloting lasted. From the book, God's Book of Esther, Professor S.L. McGuire's translation, Salisbury, 1922, Chapter 48. Can you believe what you just heard? A group of men sat around and debated what pagan god their empire and the world would serve.
My God.
We know this may sound shocking for many, but this is history. Now, after 1 year and 5 months of debating over which pagan god the Roman Empire and the world would serve, Constantine returned to the Nicene Council to find the leaders there had not yet agreed on a new pagan deity. They did, however, narrow the list down to 5 pagan deity prospects. These were Zeus, Mithra, Caesar, Krishna, and Horus. Historia Ecclesiastica, Eusebius, circa 325. As ruler, Constantine chose to combine 2 of the pagan deities into one. He chose Jesus, also known as Zeus, to be joined with the Eastern savior god, Krishna. Note that Krishna is Sanskrit for the word Christ. When you combine the 2 words, they equal Jesus Krishna.
Jesus Krishna?
As Jesus Christ. A ratified vote was taken by the council that totaled 100...
Now let's pause. Zeus. Hey, Zeus. Krishna means Christ. Told you the Maccabeans were using the word Christ. It just means anointed one. So when you saying Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus Krishna. We need to be so far removed from saying Jesus Christ. In your ignorance, there may have been some power in the name because you didn't know better. When you know better, you do better, and you cannot call on these pagan deities to please anybody.
Jesus
fixing what votes to 157 votes in favor of Constantine's wishes. Thus, the name Jesus Krishna, Jesus Christ, became the official name of the new Roman god. The world is still under Constantine's spell. This brings us back to what we spoke of earlier about the next great deception. It should now be obvious, based on what we've shared about what happened at the Council of Nicaea, that the name of the Savior was also changed by the Nicene Council, perpetuated by the transfer and scribes to this very day. The Savior said, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you would receive. Yehukanan, also known as John, chapter 5, verse 43. If the Savior said that he came in his Father's name, then his name is in the Father's name. The Father's name is Yahuwah. In modern Hebrew, it is spelled Yod-Heh-Yuh-Heh, and pronounced as Yahuwah. Very simple, very powerful. The Savior's name in modern Hebrew is spelled Yod-Heh-Yuh-Shin-Ayin, which is Yahusha, pronounced Yahusha. Very simple, very powerful. In fact, the power is clear when you realize the Savior's name is a description of who the Father is. Yahu is the abbreviation for Yahuwah.
Yahu. And then when he said, listen, let me point this out. He said, the scripture says, Yahusha said, I come in my Father's name. That's why you have to take your time and read your verses. For him to come in his Father's name means his Father's name is in his name. What you need to understand is the Roman Catholic Church turned Jesus Krishna into a God, which is why the Christian church worships Jesus Christ as God. And they say the two are one, and they have you worshiping that term, Jesus Christ, as opposed to worshiping Yahuwah, whom our Savior, Yahusha, the Son, told us how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. We're supposed to pray to the Father in his name. We're supposed to worship the Father, not Jesus Christ, and not the Son. The Son doesn't want to be worshipped. So that's where the confusion came in. The Roman Catholic Church had you worshiping the Son as God and bringing in their Trinity doctrine. When he said, I come in my Father's name, and this is the only way it could be, is Yahuwah and Yahusha. And we see Matanyahu, Yakanan, Yashaya, Yeshaya. All of the disciples and apostles have the name Yahu in their name, which is why Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name, meaning they have that name in their name. Do you know the slave manifest had all the Hebrew names of the people that were on there because they knew who they put into slavery were the Israelites, and they changed Portugal and the slave trade made these slaves change their names to English names because all of the Hebrew names, the Israelites had names that had the name of Yah inside of them. But I digress. Let's listen to the rest of this. We just got about 8 minutes to go.
Shah in Hebrew means saves, salvation. Therefore, the Savior's name literally means Yahuwah saves. The translators and scribes, fueled by the evil one, have done everything possible to keep people from knowing the name of the Savior, because his name describes who he and the Father are. Yahuwah saves. This fact is also established when Musa, also known as Moses, changed the name of Musa, also known as Joshua, to Yahusha, right before he sent the men out to spy on the promised land. Yahuwah was about to give them
Yahusha. So you need to hear that. He didn't want it to be confused with the name Joshua.
Musa knew that they would need Yahuwah to deliver the enemy into their hands. The scriptures...
Let me apologize for these commercials that keep talking. Moses, before they went into the land to conquer it, gave them the name Yahusha to put the name of the Most High Father into it for the battle, for the conquering. So you need to see how far back. People always say that the Savior is not referenced in the Old Testament. The Son, he is. He's the Word. He was that. That's when he said, let there be light. That's who that was. When you go into the Apocrypha books, you see them talking about the Son. Very much present throughout that time.
Right. These are the names of the men whom Musha, also known as Moses, sent to spy out the land. And Musha called Husha, the son of Nun, Yahusha, Bamidbar, also known as Numbers, 13, verse 16. So Musha, Moses, changed Husha's, Joshua's name, to Yahusha. And this name describes our father perfectly. Yahuwah saves. Nearly all scholars acknowledge and agree on the fact that in the scriptures, the Savior's name and Joshua's name is the same name. In the King James Version, Hebrews, also known as Hebrews 4 verse 8, it reads, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? KJV. In the exact same verse from the New International Version, NIV, it reads, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Two of the exact same verses in English that contain two different names. However, when we look closer at the Strong's Dictionary, the name Jesus, Strong's G2424, is rendered in Latinized Greek and pronounced Jesus, but refers us back to Joshua in Strong's H3091. In Hebrew is spelled Yahusha. Then there is Acts 7:45, which we find the name Joshua, Strong's G2424, in English translations. What stands out is that the exact same Strong's number, G2424, is used for the name Jesus as well. This gives us clear evidence that the Savior's name was actually changed by the translators, scribes. That is what happens when translators, scribes, attempt to cover a lie. They can't consistently cover all the deceptions.
Right.
The truth eventually comes out. This is what is happening all over the world now. The Savior, whose real name is Yahusha,
this is why so many in the world, I know these Egyptologists used to do it all the time, they say that the Bible contradicts itself. Because of what the translators have done to hide the meanings. And what he's saying is that they could not continuously, consistently cover their lies. So they kept switching the terms. But when you go into studying the original languages and the Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew, and the older ones back in the 1800s, 1700s, and 1600s, not this modern stuff where they've injected more confusion. Most High is not the author of confusion. So they tried to keep covering their lies by going in, altering our books, these so-called translators. I can't stand translation. Nobody asked you for a translation. Do you know why Esau and these Amalekites are always trying to change the translations? Because it's not their book, and it wasn't given to them to understand. And the only way you can receive the understanding of this book is by receiving the Ruach HaKodesh and keeping these commandments, which they wanted nothing to do with, the Roman Catholics. They said it was done away with. And they were trying to separate us from our one true creator, Yahuwah. We have about 6 minutes left of this, and I hope you're learning something.
Remarkable and powerful statements when he said, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Set apart, Father, guard them in your name, which you have given me, so that they might be one as we are. Yahusha goes on to say, when I was with them in the world, I was guarding them in your name, which you have given me, and I watched over them. Yehochanan 17:11-12. Yahusha clearly states the importance of the Father's name and the fact that he and the Father have the same name. His name literally is Yahuwah Saves. When the Savior sacrificed himself in order that those who believe can be saved, and was risen from the dead, he is now Yahuwah, the Messiah, the Savior. This is proven when Kapha, also known as Peter, walked out of the upper room at the day of Pentecost and said to the massive crowd, and it shall
32. The truth is now forcefully advancing its way through the generations of deception. The scripture reveals in Hebrews 3:15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We pray that through this message, you have heard his voice, and that your heart is open, as scripture continues to reveal. And I looked and saw a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him, 144,000 having his father's name written upon their foreheads. Revelation 14, verse 1. Written upon their foreheads means that Yahuwah is their foremost God. Furthermore, it is written, and no longer shall there be any curse, and the throne of Eluah, Yahuwah, and one of the Lamb, Yahusha, shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. Chizayun, also known as Revelation 22:3-4. Notice that these verses take the name of the Father, Yahuwah, and the name of the Lamb, Yahusha, and unite them as one. The scripture says, his name shall be upon their foreheads. His name is singular. Thus we see clearly that the Son, Lamb, has been given the name above all names. That name is Yahuwah.
Be on alert. Okay. If you don't own a gas mask, I suggest you get one
and stop right there. Pretty much that's the gist of it. We covered it. And we know that the Son's name and the Father's name are so similar because they're in one. Yeshua comes from Yahuwah, and the last part, Shua, means salvation. Salvation of Yah is what you're saying, because in Hebrew, we always read from right to left. I just want you to see the level of deception. And I know when I first came into this truth, having broken away from the Christian church, it was sacrilege for me not to call on the name of Jesus Christ. But our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because we don't turn the pages and we don't read. But they thoroughly hid this information from us. I mean, these books are coming out all over the place. And Daniel prophesied that in the last days, books would start popping up everywhere, meaning there'd be information that's available in your hands from a cell phone where you can Google something. That's why they're trying to scrub the internet now and control it, because they used it. They brought this technology up for their advancement of their AI systems. But the Most High said everything that, you know, Satan tries to use, he'll take it, turn it around, and use it for good. What the devil meant for evil, I'll turn it around for good. And it's causing a lot of our people to become well-versed in understanding of the deception. Everything we've been taught has been a lie. And I'm not going to say that everybody that called upon that name, Jesus Christ, he blinked and had mercy on. Some of you were calling upon demons and they came to your aid. They made you feel like you were healed. Because I know people that call on the name of Jesus Christ, act like they were delivered, and they picked up seven more demons. They were some of the worst adulterers and fornicators and murderers you ever heard of. Lovers of money. Look at what you see in the Christian church now. All the homosexuality that exists in the Christian church. Were they calling on the Savior or were they calling on demons? Because what they were doing didn't keep them. Nothing can keep you but the law. Psalms 19:7. The law of Yahuwah is perfect, converting the soul of man, making wise the simple. You can't even be converted until you start keeping the law. And then you can't start bringing people into this fold as disciples until you've been converted. Like he told Peter, once you've been converted, go and exhort others. Then you can encourage. And it takes some of you 2 to 3 years to be converted. And he said, unless ye be converted and become as little children again. That means you have to become innocent again because you've been tainted by the world. I digress. The translators, Satan, anointed them to come up with devices to deceive us and hide everything. Give us back our books, all of them. And not just the ones you chose for us at the Nicene Council, all of them. Stop being closed-minded, Hebrews, and saying, oh, I don't want to read that. That's not part of the Bible. No, you're confused. You're worshiping the wrong thing. You're definitely confused. I'm going to take a break, then we'll do a brief, because that was good. We'll do a brief exhortation on walking in the Spirit to help us to navigate and get through some of the things that we need to learn how to endure to get to the end. Shabbat Shalom and welcome back to The Awakening. I am the preacher. Just got through about a 45-minute lesson on the real understanding of the name. If you're just tuning in, please go to blogtalkradio.com and listen to the video that breaks down these various names that you hear from the camps to give you better understanding. But right here, right now, right here and right now, here and now, we just want to talk about walking in the Spirit. I just want to take a little time while I still have a little voice left to exhort and encourage you as we were instructed to do as we see the day fastly approaching. Make no mistake about it. Amasai is on his way back. You're living in the end of days, not the end of the world, the end of this regime, the changing of the guard, purging of the earth. Do not minimize all of the judgments that you are seeing and witnessing. What you need to minimize is the fear mongering. I guess y'all made it through October the 4th, huh? And now you hold your breath wondering if it's October the 11th. Then I heard a lot of people say that they sent out frequencies and signals on the 5th and the 6th. People complaining about chest pains, heart pains, different attacks. I'm not going to go into that because I don't do that on the Shabbat. We'll be getting into more of that during the week on Blog Talk Radio, not on YouTube. Nonetheless, it's the fear campaign that's being promulgated in all the earth because Satan operates on fear. It's tangible, palatable to them, succulent to them, to these demon spirits. They can thrive in the atmosphere of fear. Arya. And the angels and the Ruach thrives on the atmosphere of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Yah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith moves mountains. That's why he said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? And what eats away at faith is fear. I want to encourage you today and give you some tips on how to walk in the Spirit, because you're not going to be able to, that's your GPS. You're not going to be able to navigate from day to day. You'll be in the wrong place at the wrong time. With all the mass shootings going on and the different things happening, you need to be walking in the Spirit and not contrary to the leading of the Most High. In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct thy path. Should you even go to this store today, what time to go, what phone call to make, should you talk to this person, should you be in this atmosphere, should you wear this, everything you do must be led of the Spirit. And it's so imperative now, because there's an all-out assault to kill Israelites and Hebrews and wipe them off the face of the earth so that there won't be a remnant. Jacob's trouble is in full assault, because Satan knows his time is short, and his demons and those that work for him. Synagogue of Satan, his church, his people, and the Freemasons, their cronies, that want this whole earth to be turned over into pedophilia, transhumanism, transgenderism, hatred, anger, blood sucking, blood drinking, murder, and depopulation and death. He'll protect us. Never forget Psalms 91, which is our 911. When you start with Psalms 91 and 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Alua. That's us walking in the Spirit. And when you read through us that chapter, it says that when you stay in his presence, that you'll be able to fend off the weapons and the darts. What is that? What is that talking about? The fiery darts. Do you know that's talking about the slanders and slang that comes your way because you're a child of the Most High? Do you know that that's talking about the so-called viruses that are mysteriously traveling in the air in the day and night, the germs and the bacteria that they've got the whole world afraid of, saying there's a virus that's affecting people, when it's, no, it's something that's not seen, but it's not a virus. It's a frequency that's being transmitted through the, you know what, starts with the number 5. And because of people's fear, they submitted themselves to sorcery and witchcraft, pharmakia, which has united them with a beast system, connected them. So when you're out, Israelite, in public, you are combating frequency, spirits, and demons that don't want you to exist. And if you're not in the Spirit, you don't see them and don't see what they're doing. So you need to be in the Spirit to understand the angels that are operating around you and the fallen angels known as demons. Well, I take that back. I'm sorry. Demons are the Nephilim, disembodied spirits that are looking to taunt, destroy, make sick, make ill, and just multiple. You can have 12 dozen demons inside you. Those are the people that you see when you walk down the street sometimes, and they're just talking to themselves, naked, new, murderers. There's a plethora of demons inside those people. Fallen angels walk amongst you that you probably heard these terms. Shapeshifters, reptilians. You need to stop thinking that's science fiction, because if the Bible says be careful how you entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. Do you know that the only thing that happens to an angel that's been kicked out of heaven, that's fallen, is that they leave their first estate and they lose their luminous, magnificent glory, and they become reptilian looking. They don't have Lucifer was known as the most beautiful angel because of the beauty that emanated from him, and the sound and the music that all got distorted, changed. He became ugly. These fallen angels still have the ability to materialize in front of you as animals, as people, in a form that's sinister, that hates you because they know you're going to judge them. According to 1 Corinthians 6, The Israelites, the men, the remnant that make it, will judge the angels and will judge the world along with the Savior. They hated us from the time Lucifer laid his eyes on the creation Adam that was in paradise. He was like, what is this? Who is this? Jealousy. And so they don't like you now, which is why they seek to wipe you off the face of the earth along with their consorts, the demons, the masons, those that worship them and serve them and think that Lucifer is God. And he is being worshiped in these churches on these sun days. So you think you don't need to walk in the spirit on a daily basis? You're being awakened now. There's a plethora of information being given to you, but a lot of you don't want to receive it because you don't want to be checked. You don't want to be changed. Our people are quick to say, stop yelling at me. You need to change the way your platform and your tone is. Let me say to you like this. Our people, according to Ezekiel, are hard-headed, stiff-necked, stubborn people, and they don't like to be checked, which is why we're so quick to women are so quick, and men too now, to get to twisting their neck and putting their hands on their hips like, you don't know me. Who you think you're talking to? We don't want to be checked. And the first thing we'll say is, you can't judge me. Guess what? 1 Corinthians 6 says, I'm going to judge angels and the world, and I can judge you if I am not living a sinful life and I'm not living the way you're living. Now, if I'm a hypocrite, I can't judge you. If I just got through getting out of the bed of adultery or fornication, and then I see you and want to talk about what you did last night, I'm a hypocrite. I can't judge you. But someone who's far removed from that life, who walks in a set-apart lifestyle, yes, they can judge you and tell you that you're in sin. Matter of fact, I'm going to do what Isaiah 58 says. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, not a flute, not a violin, and show my people their transgressions. I'm going to tell you about yourself and your sins, because I don't have the luxury of allowing your blood to be on my hands. I'm not doing that, because it says I am going to be responsible for your going to hell, and I'm going to be checked by my Savior, my Father, for not having told you, but siding with your sins and even laughing with you about it, slapping you high five because you slept with the girl in the office and you around the water cooler talking about, I got that, man, last night. What? I'm supposed to be like, man, you're going to hell. And I'm saying it in a playful way, but I'm supposed to check you. And that's why you don't allow your ear to become a garbage can and let people throw their sins off on you and you snicker with them. That's blood on your hands. I'm sorry if your family member is living a lifestyle of lesbianism, homosexuality, and you going along with it, siding with it, and talking about, I like your little shoes, I like your clothes. No, you're siding with it. Let them know where you stand and take a stand for the Most High Yah. And let it be known and written in the Sanskrits of heaven that you cried out against it. You got to walk in the Spirit. And you will be blessed if you do walk in the Spirit. So let's just go through a few precepts. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, period. If you walk in the Spirit, let me see if I can make this plain to you, because all of you have heard the scripture your whole life. Walking in the Spirit means tiptoeing when you walk out your door and looking around you. You're going to look suspect. People might be looking at, and I'm saying this in a playful way, but I want you to know it's like you don't have the luxury of whistling and looking all up in the sky and skipping and not paying attention to your surroundings. Yeah, looking down on your phone is a big thing that people do. That you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in iPhone. You're messed up because you're so stuck on the gossip and what somebody else is saying or a text message. You're not in the Spirit. For those of you that walked away from your phones for one day this week for fear of a frequency transforming you, that's something you need to practice at least 2 or 3 days a week to get away from that phone. I'm going to do a show in the middle of the week letting you know how your body is in sync with that phone, and that phone is communicating with your body, and they're lying to you, telling you it's the camera and the microphone. It's deeper than that. It's bioconvergence and biosensors. We'll talk about that some other time. Walking in the Spirit is that you've left the house after having prayed and worshiped the Father for the majority of the morning, and you already are aware. You're not afraid. You're going out on the offense against Hashatan. And we'll talk about the offensive, which is a loving spirit, a forgiving spirit, and a spirit that is like, I'm not for no mess today. If you go out like this, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to be looking for somebody to pick up, to get a number, or to do some eye lusting and covetousness. The verse continues by saying the flesh lusts against the spirit. So your own body is trying to keep you from walking in the spirit and cause you not to see or listen or pay attention to the angel that's been assigned to you that gives you instructions for the day, watches over you, and protects you. It says the spirit against the flesh, because these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now, let's make that clear. We know Paul's writings are confusing. If you are walking in the spirit, then that means you don't have to be under the law, worrying about the law, trying to think about the law, wearing fringes to remind you of the law, because you have elevated yourself to a place to where you're walking in the law by walking in the spirit. You already know, because the law is in your heart and you're paying attention to things and you're checking yourself constantly. Don't do that. Don't look over there. Don't break your neck. You know that's wrong. Repent. You shouldn't have said that. Don't look at that person. Say hello to that person. Be kind. Be friendly. Smile. The Ruach is checking you and your angel like that constantly every day. This is the only way you're able to pray without ceasing, because in your spirit, you're constantly in communique with the heavens and the spirit, which we have access. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Mashiach Yahshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. That means that if you are, your stomach is talking to you crazy, like just go eat this, or your flesh is saying, why don't you go get a drink to calm your nerves? Or let me just say it, because there's adults on here. Or your flesh is making you feel like that you're horny, and you have to learn to put that in subjection. And you're like, I'm going to follow the spirit. I'm not going to let my flesh dictate me pleasing my flesh, because in it, I'm pleasing a demonic spirit that will come into me and possess me. Some of you have demons lying dormant in you, or they're knocking at your door, because scripture tells us that the demon that once possessed you, which was your lustfulness, lasciviousness, and your adultery and your fornication, keeps coming back so that it can come back home. And if you let it in, seven more spirits come in that are worse than the first, and they don't want to ever let you go. And you may not be able to escape them. All right, I digress. I'm going to go to Romans 8:14. For as many that are led by the Spirit of Yah, these are the sons of Yahuwah. Only if you're led by the Spirit. That is the Spirit, when it tells you to do something, you've got to do it. You've got to move. And I'm talking to mature people that I'm hoping that will know when they're being led by the Spirit. Not the Spirit told me that you, my husband, you, my wife, are to come get at you. No. Well, the Spirit most of the times will lead you to go do something that you're uncomfortable with because you're shy or your faith has not been built up to that level. Half the times it's about being bold for the Mashiach, for Christ, to go tell somebody about the goodness of Christ, or to go give a word that you know the Most High gave you to go give them, and you have to take a step of faith in order to do it, and it makes you uncomfortable, and you have to press beyond your flesh to go do it, and then you reap the rewards and benefits. Colossians 3:1-2, if then ye were raised with Mashiach, seek those things which are above, where Mashiach is sitting at the right hand of Yahuwah. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. This is a key point to walking in the spirit. You should be constantly thinking about what is to come as opposed to what you see and what you want and what's going on around you. We hold fast to the prophecies and the scriptures. We're not devastated and amazed at the lack of love in the world. the disrespect of children towards parents talked about in the Bible told us all these things. We're not supposed to be surprised at the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquake in diverse places, the famines, the floods, the fear. We believe the word of Yah. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 is where he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, occupy until I come. So don't sit here and put your life on hold because of the fear of what the news is telling you. Go buy you some land if you have the opportunity and raise you some food and vegetables to feed your family. You never know. He'll bless your land and your crops, and you'll have more food than you saw available at the supermarket because this Holy Spirit, the Ruach, and the angels are giving you increase like the fish and the two fish and five loaves of bread. It just keeps multiplying. And you can take care of yourself, your family, your Israelites because you got faith in the Most High. You got to, he says, he'll bless the work of your hands. But see, a lot of us won't move and work with our hands because we're like the parable that says he gave everybody a talent and he gave this one guy one talent and he buried it and wouldn't use it. He's like, I didn't want to use it. I just thought I'd save it. And no. Whatever he's given you to utilize, that's what you utilize, and he'll bless the work of your hands, multiply and increase to where you won't have to complain, worry, fret, or fear. My Yah shall supply all your needs according. Romans 8, 7 through 10. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against Yah, for it is not subject to the law of Yah. Because you're carnal, you're always thinking about carnality. That's what you learned in the pagan church. You're carnal minded. All you think about is just getting, taking this earth. What have you done for me lately? So then those who are in the flesh, we're not pleasing Yah. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of Yah dwells in you. Now, how do we know he's in you? Have you been converted? Have you been baptized in the water and fire? Do not negate water baptism when your Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, was baptized by Apostle Yochanan. And the disciples went on to baptize people in water and fire through the Ruach. If Mashiach is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now let's get a breakdown for walking in the spirit. We'll be through in a second. Galatians 5, 19 through 24. This is how we know what we need to get rid of and if we're in the spirit. If these things you're still wrestling with, you're not walking in the spirit, you don't have the ability to do so. You're blind. You need to chain yourself to the altar. And that's just a way of us saying you need to submit to teaching, the holy days, to fasting, to prayer. You need to get set free and walk away from your old self and be converted. Let's see if this is you. Galatians 5, 19, 24. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Are you messing with someone else's wife or husband, coveting them? Fornication. This is for you that say, I'm not committing adultery. I'm just having a little hookup with a boo because it's Friday. I ain't got nothing to do. You're not in the spirit. Uncleanness. Self-explanatory. Lewdness. Self-explanatory. Idolatry. Worshiping idols, different people, other gods, crystals, sorcery. If you have more faith in pharmakia drugs, even marijuana, working witchcraft, necromancy, worshiping the ancestors, hatred, if you still talking about what somebody did to you years ago, even when you get upset with people and try to blame them for certain things the way you feel, there can be no hatred, people. You're walking in the flesh, which makes you an enemy of Yah. You have to learn to forgive everything that was done to you, these so-called offenses, even to the minutest degree. You can't blame people. Because when you keep that hatred in your heart, it brings contentions, and that's a part of being in the flesh. If there's contention between you and your family, you need to adjust that. Kill off the contentions, and say, look, I don't have nothing against you. I love you. Respect where I'm at, and I'll respect you. Not going to be no contentions. Not going to answer your debates, your arguments. I can't make you see the light anyway. And watch jealousy, because it sneaks in. And then here's another one that we have to check, even when we have the Holy Spirit, because of what we encounter when we go out into the streets and all the attacks, especially those who have the juice inside of them now that attack you. I almost had an outburst of wrath, and sometimes it gets on me to where I have to repent, because I know I'm a very protective and defensive person, but an outburst of wrath is a work of the flesh. But there are things that are poking at you every day now to get you to have an outburst of wrath. I'll tell you a funny story. I was just in the store trying to pick a package of pasta, and here comes about 10 people that swarmed me and reaching in front of me grabbing pasta. I said, what is this? A pasta celebration? I asked all of them what the hell's going on, and they began to laugh. It was like a bunch of demons just tried to attack me. I felt crowded, bombarded. And then when I left, they all left. Hilarious. Road rage, all of those things are outbursts of wrath that can come quickly. So you have to, if you're in your car, turn on some soft music, worship music, and prepare yourself that somebody's going to try to knock your car off the side of the road. It's going to happen because you're a light. And those demons inside, those people can see that light. And for no reason at all, the devil and his demons will go to a person in a car and say, don't let that person get in front of you. Run that person off the road. Flip them off. Blow your horn at them. Get behind them and rush them. Some people call it gang stalking, but what it is I'm telling you that the demon knows who you are and where you are in that car, and he knows how to tap people that belong to him on the shoulder to say, go and harass that person for me. And since they're given to the flesh and to Satan, they're available to do that. And you need to watch out for yourself being around available people that are available to the devil, because they hate Yah, don't serve Yah, but worship Satan. Check this one out real quick. Selfish ambitions. Are you always doing things for just yourself? Everything that you're striving to do is all about you. What you want, what you want to do, what you're doing for your goals, your dreams. The world put that in you. They taught you that in school. It was mind programming. So I'm looking out for me. I could do bad all by myself. I got to take care of me now. I got to get my own stuff. I got to make myself look good. I got to be looking good on Facebook and social media. I got to be successful. I got to look successful. Selfish ambitions, that's of the flesh. You're not in the spirit. You won't be able to walk in the spirit and be protected from walking accidentally into a supermarket or Kroger's and there's a mass shooting because you weren't tuned into the spirit. You tuned into yourself, your flesh, lust, the world, and you walked right into danger. Most High keeps you and protects you. Dissension, heresies, bad doctrine, envy, murders, you're not supposed to be doing any of that. Being drunk, partying, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yah. But if you looking like this, the fruit of the Spirit is in you, and it's because you're loving, you got joy, you've got a peace that passes all understanding, you're long-suffering with your family members, your children, your co-workers, you're a very kind person, you have goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and most of all, self-control. Against that, there is no law. Check yourself before you wreck yourself to see if those things are operating inside you on a daily basis in order to walk in the Spirit. And those who are of HaMashiach have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You don't need all them things no more, the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and selfish ambition, and outbursts of wrath. You're chilled now. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. For without these things, no one will see Yahuwah. follow and pursue these things. Learn how to see, listen, and hear to what the Ruach is telling you. At all times, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, that's been my time. I'm going to let you get ready to go. And just want to say that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. All praises to the Most High. Shalom.
That endures.